mysteries. What is a mystery? A mystery is something that is unknown and wondered at. But when something becomes known, it is no longer a mystery. Therefore, God's children should not marvel at the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For he has given you the word which describes that mystery, and perhaps we could say the mystery of the revelation. And inasmuch as the word of revelation means the unveiling or the uncovering, what are we actually saying? The mystery of the unveiling, once it's unveiled, there's no mystery there anymore. Therefore, it behooves one to search the word. And I'm not saying that it is possible that we mortals have the ability to have the mind of God. No. But we mortals do have the ability to understand the word of God to the level and the degree that he intends we should. And this takes away mysteries. But I chose that subject for today. And I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to talk about both the positive and the negative in the mystery sense. But it is a part of one and the same. It is the mystery of God's plan or the mystery of the revelation. The word of God is not a mystery to those that have eyes to see, for it has been made known, and they are able to recognize God's plan and the events that shall transpire. Now, you're all familiar with this second chapter of Revelation. It's where Paul hastily wrote a second letter to the Thessalonians, Thessalonians chapter 2, because it seemed that the first letter to the Thessalonians had confused several people. And he begins the second chapter with, "Hey, I want to talk to you a minute about our gathering back to Christ," which is to say, quite simply, Christ's second coming. It's not going to happen until after the son of perdition stands in Jerusalem claiming to be Jesus, or claiming to be in God's place, which is the office of Messiah. It's just not going to happen. Don't you let that first letter or some spirit or some man or anyone else deceive you. It's just not. Christ is not returning to this earth until after the son of perdition stands in Jerusalem. The son of perdition is a title in the Greek that can only apply to one entity. What does the word perdition mean? It means to perish, ultimately, the prime. Who has God already sentenced to death to perish? Satan, of course. But he continues on and he tells the subject is him, Satan, standing in the holy place, claiming to be God. Now pick it up in the 7th verse. For the mystery, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now absorb that. Does it say it's going to work next year or what? It's already working. It was working then, and it's still working now. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, you all know that in the Greek this is a transitive verb, meaning you can't just tag any name you want to on he, because the subject and the object have already been identified as Satan and he who holds him. And we know from Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, that it's Michael that holds, that lets, until he boots him out of heaven. So, what though is this mystery of iniquity? It's already working. It was working then, and it's working now. And I'll tell you something else. It has worked all through this earth age. Now turn with me to the last chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 16. And we're going to pick it up about verse 25, I believe. Yes. And we read in verse 25 of the 16th chapter of Romans, "Now to him that is of power to establish you." What does that mean? Can put you in on a foundation. "According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ." What was the preaching of Jesus Christ? The gospel's his word, both Old and New Testament. He's the author and the finisher of the word of God. "According to the revelation What does the word revelation mean in the Greek? The unveiling, uncovering, to be made known of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. How long has it been in effect? Since the world began. Do you understand that that probably takes in also the first earth age that Peter spoke of in 2 Peter chapter 3? But now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And without that faith to know that God is, that Christianity is not a religion but a reality, we live it, though we fall short, you would fall short of that unveiling. Now I'm going to tell you something. Those that have eyes to see are able to understand the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. I want you to look at me just a moment, if you would, please. To see, to have eyes to see the spiritual mystery of God, you must close your flesh eyes and open your spiritual eyes. Now, I don't want anyone to think I'm talking down to them, but at the same time, I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I said, so I'm even going to simplify it, if I may. I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. I do not mean that you must literally close your flesh eyes to see spiritually, not at all. But you must take your eyes off the flesh and off the world and place them into the spiritual realm. By that I mean that is holy, God's realm, God's Word, for it is holy, and look at it only, and separate your eyes from the flesh and the world. Now, this will be an oversimplification, but be that as it may, many times I've been studying, and then I'd have a pain hit me for a cup of coffee. Oh, man, I really need a cup of Java right now, okay? I'm using that as an example, and I'm using myself. It'll pull your mind so fast out of the spiritual realm or the study of God's Word or food, okay, or many other things. So to totally understand the plan of God, or to see, to have eyes to see, you must take your eyes off this world and yourself and look at God's Word and His plan, His will, His mystery, if you wish to call it that. And then you will begin to see. For God has such a simple plan. For example, the mystery of iniquity, you don't have any trouble with that from 2 Thessalonians. You know Satan has children on this earth. You know that he rebelled in the world that was, the kibeo, as the Greek verb carries, and that the earth age was destroyed and this earth age was brought into being. Same old terra firma, same old foundation, but a different age. There's no mystery in that to you. So you can no longer call it the mystery of iniquity for yourself, for you see. You have eyes that can see. Why? You have taken your eyes off the traditions of men. You have taken your eyes off man, and you have placed them in the hands of God. And let me tell you something. Your eyes mirror your very soul. That's why when the Holy Spirit is upon you, people are drawn to you. They know that you have answers that help them, because your eyes mirror the Word, if you would. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect, and that doesn't mean we don't fall short, because we do. Be a realist. But it will help you to stop the shortfall, to do better, to live better. But then you will develop eyes to see. Paul, really, while he was in this subject, let's continue right into chapter 2 of Corinthians here. Let's just spend a little time. Think about wisdom and think about seeing with understanding the Word of God. Paul was a good teacher. He says here in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, you're right at it there at the end of Romans, and chapter 2, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Paul's saying, I wasn't all that much. My speech wasn't too good. He spoke colloquial Greek, which is to say country Greek. He was learned under the Hebrew tongue. For I determined, in verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now that's quite a subject, because if you know Jesus Christ, you know His Word, if you accept the fact that He was crucified, you know He rose, and also you know who crucified Him, why it was brought to pass, and that He died on the cross to bring about forgiveness of our sins, but also, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, He died on the cross to destroy Satan, which is death, to remove death from us. But he said, of myself as a man, I didn't claim to know anything, only Christ and His Word. And I'm going to tell you something today. None of us know anything except Christ and His Word. There's no other place wisdom comes from unless it's wisdom of the world. All right, verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. As a man I was. I guess he's even saying I was a little frightened at times as a man in the flesh. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What is man's wisdom? Man's wisdom is foolishness compared to God's wisdom. Well, where do I obtain God's wisdom? From His Word. Do you know what Word means? Logos. He spoke it. He counseled, and you can always depend on it. But if you start listening and put your eyes on this world, and oh, how eloquent some speakers can be, Paul states here. Right? He said, I don't talk all that fancy, but I get the work done of my Father. I get His Word preached. Okay? Verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. Who are the princes of this world? Well, Satan's the prince of this hour. His little princes are Kenites, of course, sons of Cain. That came to naught. That's exactly what wisdom of this world will always come to. Naught. Well, let's have all the nations get together and make a big peace treaty. Back after World War I, we had the League of Nations. We're going to have a peace treaty. There'll never be another war. What did it come to? Naught. After World War II, we're going to have the United Nations. We're going to have peace on earth. And we've been fighting ever since, a little here, a little there. I even tasted a little bit of it in Korea, as well as others did in Nam. And on it goes. Man's wisdom always comes to naught. The prince of darkness shall rule for a short time as the spurious Messiah. So, what must you settle your mind on then? If you look at the world, it's foolish. If you look at God's Word, then you're going to gain wisdom. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Why would He just come out and tell it like it is instead of speaking in a mystery? Well, we'll find out this morning. Wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Oh, my, that's exciting. Hidden wisdom. Which God ordained. If God ordained something to be hidden, He must have a reason, right? Do you love Him? Do you have faith in Him? Then know there's a reason. Hidden wisdom which God ordained or foreordained before the world unto our glory. Before this world age, God ordained it. You understand that? Very important. God has had a plan from the very beginning. If you get out of that plan, you're out of His will and you're useless to Him. You must always, always stay in the plan of God. How do you learn the plan of God? You learn it through the Spirit and the Word by having your eyes open whereby they can see the wisdom of God. Which, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, there's a lot entailed within that statement, and I choose not to dwell on it but a moment, but had Christ not been crucified, the blood not been shed, your sins would still be hanging. And the sentence of Satan's death would not have been pronounced as it is in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that he is dead or will die. Verse 9, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He's quoting here, Paul was quite a Bible teacher. He's quoting Isaiah 64, verse 4. All right? We're not going there, but make a note of it. Take a home study. That's what Paul is quoting, and there's more there that strengthens this. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, are they revealed to you? Again, what is revelation? It's to uncover or to make known or to remove that hidden phase and bring it into light for you. God, through the Holy Spirit, makes it known. Why? Through a teacher or through your studying the Word, the Holy Spirit touches your heart and you hear and you say, that's truth. That's the Word. I can feel it. I know it. For faith is your substance or title deed, the Greek word in the Paphrat. Your title deed to knowledge, which takes away the unknown. Made known to you by the Holy Spirit, which gives you the unction, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The deep things of that God knows. He makes known to you through that Spirit. But, beloved, don't be as those who would say, oh, yes, I can stop reading God's Word at this moment and just dwell on the Spirit. I could just go out into boom boom land and float around. Oh, how God hates lazy people. He really does. You want a scripture on that? I can give it to you. Jeremiah chapter 4, what is it? Verse 18. He said, you sottish children, you stupid children. You know, he just doesn't like people that don't think enough of this letter that he's written to us to read it. Any more than if you write a letter of love to someone and they won't even read it, it upsets you a little bit too, doesn't it? Well, he feels like you do. He's pretty intelligent. Okay? So, you must study his word, that is his counsel. Then, and I'll add one to it, after the part of your salvation which intuitively brings the Spirit to your heart, after that, he won't come back unless you study his word and seek his counsel. He won't touch you. There might be, you'll soon fall so far away in ignorance from not knowing the Word of God that there'll be some spirit touch your heart, all right, but I'll tell you where it's from. It's straight from hell. A lot of spirits in this world, but there's only one Holy Spirit. Study your Father's Word to show yourself approved, all right? For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Can you read someone else's mind? Sometimes I think Anna can mine, but be that as it may. Save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, through the Spirit of God and his Word, then you will know the things of God as he would have you understand them at the moment. Which is to say, in each dispensation, there is knowledge that is brought fresh. It is not a new thing, but it is made known by the living God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. And beloved, they're real. The spirit of this world is very real, and you better be set for it. It makes yo-yos out of a lot of people and drives them bonkers. They think they're something special. They think they have an unction from God, and it's straight from the devil. Not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, which is to say what? The Holy Spirit. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Think about that statement for a moment. Some people might say, how in the world can a little old church in Northwest Arkansas have a multi-million dollar a year ministry? It's given to us by God. Why? Because we know the Holy Spirit enables the Word of God to stand on its own feet, which is our Father's, and that He touches the hearts of people, not men, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Why? He gives them. Do you know something? He's standing there waiting with gifts for you when you serve Him. And it may not be some big thing. It may be a very small thing that He wants you to do. People have the feeling that to serve God, it's got to move a mountain. A lot of small things must be done in our Father's work, step by step, growth by growth, until we have His work finished. He gives the gifts, but first, you must have eyes to see. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Boy, that's, man's wisdom is about as useless. Oh, I mean, there are things that are interesting in it, I suppose, but certainly, by that I mean if you go into the fields, so to speak, of science and so forth, but if it's true science, it'll always align with God's Word. Otherwise, it's false. But which the Holy Ghost or Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This word comparing would probably be better translated interpreting. Interpreting spiritual things with spiritual facts or data. Spiritual things have facts and they have data if you follow them to the depths. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If you're going to stay in your flesh and if you're going to look through your flesh eyes instead of closing your eyes to the world's facts and get your mind on what God says, many times some published fact might be contrary to God's Word and you might become a higher critic, they're called, and begin arguing with God's Word when the facts, if you have spiritual eyes, the facts will hold up for themselves, such as the New World Order. I've taught for 40 years that a one world system was coming into being, along with many other people that I know. And we were told, and now from your own president's mouth you hear the New World Order is rocking down the track at 90 miles an hour and is coming into focus. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That's why people laugh at you. Their minds are in the world. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Therefore, meaning what? They do not have eyes to see, and the mystery is hidden from them. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Probably that no man can discern him or to understand the depths to that his mind goes to. Why? If you think in the Spirit, and if you understand the Word of God, and especially in this generation where these events are coming to pass that consummate the end of this age, there's no way that you can make that clearly known to an individual that does not have eyes to see. They don't even speak your language, basically. So, therefore, the word mystery. After you know, there's no mystery there. The simplicity in which Christ taught. Those that do not have spiritual discernment will never know that mystery until it becomes a fact or de facto. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, which is to say what? If you have Christ in you, which is to say through the Holy Spirit, then when you study God's Word, the simplicity of God's plan, which is to say the one world system, that shall place, if you would, the false spurious Messiah on the throne in this generation, that iniquity, or that bad work of Satan, as we read in 2 Thessalonians, has been going on since the beginning of this world Do you know that Jesus taught that so plain that anyone should be able to understand it? He really did. Really, what the bottom line to this lecture is sometimes, methinks, we're not thankful to Him as we should be for having eyes to see. It becomes kind of a ho-hum. Oh, anyone. Sure, there's no mystery after something is made known. It's simple. And we have that nature, or that second nature, that if you're not careful, it's ho-hum, oh well, give me something new and exciting. When you live in this generation, when you see prophecies coming to pass faster than you can count, then your little old body couldn't take too much more action than what's taking place right now. But Christ taught it long, long ago. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. You will note, from having read those verses in 1 Corinthians, what I mean about the flesh eyes must be closed before the spiritual eye can see. There just isn't room for both in your mind when you're concentrating and are doing the Father's work. You all know chapter 13, don't you? You've all heard that parable of the sower, which is when he broadcast seed. And what was the seed? It was the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the counsel of God. It's His plan. It is that Word that explains the mystery to you. Christ had gone through that parable of the sower, and He said, hey, this old boy, he gained 100-fold, 60-fold, and this one 30-fold. With that thought in mind of sowing the Word. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto Him, why speakest Thou unto them in parables? What, Lord, what are You talking to them in riddles for? 11, He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That's why God put it in a hidden language. That only, is it hidden because it's so deep? No, it's so simple. But hidden because their eyes are fixed on the world rather than on Christ. And the Father from whom all wisdom comes. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. You know, beloved, that when I'm awed, and I really have to wake up, and that this little old church in Northwest Arkansas, and of course I know it's God that's doing it, don't misunderstand, it's not the crew here, it's certainly not this man, but when we are in broadcasting and slinging seed all around this world, isn't that an awesome thought? And that we have instant contact, an 800 number that is good from Puerto Rico all the way up through the Caribbean, all of the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii, and all of Canada. And how precious it was that we had three little ladies from Bermuda at Passover this year that catch part of that seed. That this touches me every time I read it. That out there, as you broadcast, some of those seeds fall on rock, just as he stated. But boy, occasionally it hits fertile soil. As some of you, like from Kansas, California, Michigan, even in this room present today, whereby many say, do you go to church? You bet. We fellowship through the airways because the Holy Spirit makes us so close that we're closer, though we're thousands of miles apart, sometimes than we are with our own relatives. We're a closer family. Because of the touch of the Holy Spirit in touching our minds and removing the scales that our eyes can see His truth and the simplicity of it. Okay. He'll give you more and more and more and more until you just can't hardly stand it if you'll just listen to Him and let Him and keep out of the way. It took me a few years to learn to stay out of his way. Whenever I found out if I get out of his way, man, he's ready to roll. And we roll. All right? He does it. All right. But what a blessing that he gives that spirit that touches minds. And he continues, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away. You have churches today that'll say, our attendance is falling off, and it just seems like the members don't want to attend. You won't believe this, but I got a letter from a man that was going to tell people how to build their audience. Rather than advertising in local papers for memberships, pay the people to come. Give them $20 apiece for coming to church. I marvel when it's so simple that if you know nature itself, if you got a herd of sheep and you got a feed trough, how often are those sheep going to come to that trough if it's empty? You've got to feed them. And they'll always be there. You can spoil them real easy with good food from God's Word. They'll run over each other getting to that trough. There's no miracle in filling churches if people would get out of the way and let God's Word do its work. All right. He'll add more and more and more. Oh, here, I was going to teach a little this morning. I'm going to be preaching here in a minute if I'm not careful. Verse 13. Okay. Therefore speak I to them in parables. That's why I talk to them in riddles, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And beloved, many times when you take a truth to ears that are sealed, it goes so far over their head, though it's so simple, that it's hard to understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and by seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. You'll be able to look at something, but when you see it happening, like the New World Order, it's not going to mean a thing in the world to you, unless you have eyes to see. And they can hear that same truth. Means nothing to them. Well, it looks like we're going to have rain today when news comes through, you know, the great prophecies being fulfilled. It's kind of sad. When God said, I send them the spirit of stupor, He wasn't kidding. All right, verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. If their heart is not strong enough to withstand the spurious Messiah, it would be unfair for our Father to touch them at an untimely time and let them see the truth. If they didn't have the courage to stand, then they would be guilty. But blessed, do you have eyes to see? You listen to me. This is why this lecture. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Beloved, it's not a little ho-hum thing. It's a miracle. It's a wonder. It's a gift from God, and don't you ever let a day go by that you don't thank Him for it. That the mystery has flown away, and you can see the beautiful Word of God in parables in their simplicity stand up and become fact. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things, or I'll say these things, which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hence the parable of the sower, he says. Don't close your books there, Bibles. The mystery and the simplicity in which it's given. If God has touched you, and some of you, you know, some of these children, I would rather have teach a stranger than some pastors, because they know the truth. And they see the truth. There are 12 and 13-year-olds that ask more intelligent questions sometimes than you could get on the street all day long from our scattered audience around the world. The Word is such a beautiful thing. But I don't want you to ever forget those words of Christ. Blessed are you that have eyes to see and ears to hear. Do you know what a blessing is? He doesn't hold up He doesn't hold short. You're not only blessed with wisdom, if you'll claim the promises, you're blessed in your daily life, even in the things of the world. He'll walk along in front of you and kick rocks out of your trail until it's just, unless he gets ready to test you, and we all should be tested occasionally. It keeps us sharp, keeps us on the ball. But what was he talking about here in this sower? You know the base root of the parable of the sower had to do with the tares. He said, hey, back in the beginning, and we read, did we not, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that this had been hidden since the beginning? What was the beginning? In the garden of this earth age. He said, I planted a field, and an enemy came in the night. Again, not today, but the night. And he sowed some seed in there. He sowed some word in there also. Only in the case of the tares, it wasn't only the word that was sowed. It was children. False children. It was the devil. But I want you to catch a very important thing in the 34th verse that Christ says after having given a few more of these parables in this 13th chapter. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. He didn't say a thing to them without putting it into a little bit of a riddle, whereby, except they have eyes to see, they could not see. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. Psalm 78:2, if you want to make a note. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. Now, you that have companion Bibles in Appendix 146, there's a very interesting thing about the Greek verb here, kabeu, which means all the way back to the overthrow when Satan was overthrown and that earth age was destroyed. Been kept secret that long. And then he continues on. And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. We don't even understand that one ourselves. Explain it. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, meaning God through Christ, the Holy Spirit. The field is the world. Understand, this is not a riddle. It's explaining one, all right? Literally. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Who is the wicked one? Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are his angels. You know that that comes at the end of the millennium. Now, listen to me a moment. Where was the mystery of iniquity working? In the world. Right. Already was then. Then, if it's been kept secret, where we know, we look at this earth and we know 14,000 years ago approximately, there was a kibbeu. And we find mammoths under the tundra in Alaska with buttercups in their mouth. And I personally, and there's been a man in this church, you've always heard me talk of Alaska Bill or Wild Bill. They dug the thing up and the meat was so fresh on it that the dogs even ate part of it when it saw it. It happened instantly. Think about it. Buttercups that far north. And they found maple leaves at the South Pole. What was this world like before the overthrow? My point is this. Do you realize that the overthrow took place right on this old world? Is it not written in Jeremiah chapter 4 where the people were getting a little disgruntled, unhappy, and they were not obeying God? And he said, hey, you listen to me. And I quoted this earlier, the sottish, ignorant children. He said, you listen to me. I destroyed this earth once before, and if you don't think I'll do it again, try me. And then he said, I destroyed every city. Where were those cities? They were right here on this earth. Where were these people? He said, I did not leave one man. He's not talking about Noah's flood. He's talking about the tuhu vobuhu of the earth became void and without form in the Hebrew tongue in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It was right here on good old earth. Don't let there be any mystery in it to you. And that is one reason we'll continue digging in both the Word and this world to understand more and more about the Word of God. Do you think he's going to destroy the age again? Of course. But there's one thing beautiful about God destroying an age. He only destroys his enemies, not his children. He loves them, and he partakes of their protection. He gave you that example when the three Hebrew children walked in the fiery furnace. Even if you walked in the abyss, the lake of fire, and you're in God's love, you would not be singed. Your gospel armor would come through in good shape. Remember all the mysteries. Oh, we could go on all day, and we're certainly not going to. Paul stated in, what was it, 1 Corinthians 15. Don't turn there. Just listen to me a moment. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, he said, I want to show you a mystery. There's a moment coming. And I'm going to quote this a little. I'm going to reverse 51 and 52. At the last trump, I'm fixing the time so you know, that in a wink of an eye, in a twinkle of an eye, we're all going to be changed into that beautiful spiritual body. It's going to happen. So you see, there's nothing new under the sun. The earth was destroyed, that earth age, rather, and man was destroyed from off this earth. You know, and at the risk of, this is not digression, but at the risk of going too deep for some minds in the tape audience, if this is too deep, put it on a shelf. In our travels, we found in Texas, in the land of the dinosaurs, where there's some of the most beautiful dinosaur tracks, Glen Rose, Texas, I saw a woman's finger, and it was sprung on me on television. I mean, I had never seen it before. And being a paramedic, I know quite a bit about anatomy. And here was the derma, the bone, the joint, and it was petrified. Do you understand? It was petrified. Hey, that didn't fit this mind for that moment. I'm working on it. Trying to fit together and understand the mystery. So, keep your minds open and let your eyes prove everything in God's Word. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll always find proof of it in God's Word. But to those that have eyes to see, there is no mystery, but a learning experience. A wonderful learning experience. As it happened before, it's going to happen again. You might say, well, where are you reading that from? Hebrews chapter 12, if you listen to us on television. I'll get to it here in a little over a week when I get back in chapter 12. He said, you better be on my foundation, whether you're in heaven or whether you're on earth, because I'm going to shake it again. And this time, beloved, he's going to shake it back where it was. This is my opinion. No, it's not my opinion. I can document it from Revelation 21. He's going to shake it back where it was, and we're going to have buttercups in Alaska again. And we're going to have maple trees at the South Pole. It's going to be a beautiful world again. How precious his word is, his promise, his mystery to men that look at the world and can never see the truth. Oh, how confused they are. So, my point, if you see it, don't let one day go by that you don't thank him for the precious gift of knowing who you are and what he's about to do and the fact that you have a place in it. He is looking for a people. He's looking for all his children. Be willing to serve him, and I promise you, he'll use you. All right. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Father, we thank you that when a mystery is unveiled, it is no longer a mystery. But with spiritual eyes, we are able to discern that fact and data concerning this generation that even the prophets wish to live in, Father.
the excitement. So let us not, Father, go to sleep on watch, our watch. But may we as watchmen be perfect watchers. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.